The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest tweeted this over the weekend. I was going to miss my gig because Dublin's lack of taxis, so my boyfriend cycled across the city back home to walk me there. If the government won't let us have rideshare, I'm going to pioneer Culturshare, where I rent out 6 foot GAA players to escort you home safely. They're the words of Brianna Parkins, who is fact checker with the journal.ie. She joins me now. I'm also joined by Dublin City Councillor for the Green Party, Janet Horner. Afternoon, Janet.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. Now, Brianna, your experience with the lack of taxis, what happened?
Currently pitching for investors for Culturshare, so hit me up on Twitter if you're interested. I actually had problems getting out of my house, not coming home, which is more worrying. So I was leaving late. I had tickets to a gig in a nightclub that was starting around 11, 12, waited for an hour, could not get a taxi on the apps. Now, I know that if I walked to the end of my road, I would probably be able to pick up, maybe pick up one coming by, but it's a really dark, sort of dodgy street. It's not where you want to be standing for a non specify a period of time. I didn't feel safe.
And this is an immediate hail rather than a booked taxi.
Yeah, this is like you put your hand out and you just pray and hope that someone picks you up. And if you don't have cash, sometimes drivers won't take you because they only take cash. So you're taking a big risk with your personal safety. So in the end, I got so frustrated. I said, look, I texted my partner, he was off staying somewhere else. And I said, look, I'm not going to be able to go out to this thing. The good man that he's cycled back home and then personally walked me into the gig. That was my only other option. As we were going into town, we were passing lots of girls trying to get out, standing on the road, looking very unsafe. And we saw a girl coming down the street and she was kind of her arms wrapped around her. There's a bloke kind of walking down beside her. I was like, are you okay? Do you know this man? She said, yeah, I'm fine. She was kind of a bit shaken. And I could see all these people just who wanted to get home. This is at 11. So you could imagine at 3 a.m. the carnage it was. And I just don't think it's
good
enough.
And it was for personal safety reasons that you didn't want to make the journey on your own.
Completely. You don't risk it. So you grew up, you know, I grew up in Australia around the same time that Jill Maher was unfortunately murdered, and she lived so close to home, so close to where she was going. She worked at the ABC like I did. When you're a woman, you collect all these stories in the back of your head and you say, like, look, I'm just not going to risk it. I just don't want to take that one chance.
This is one of the things that I've found very strange, is that in the old days you used to be able to book a taxi where you would say come at a certain time. When the apps arrived, effectively what they said was pre-booking, yeah, there's not a lot of point because they only offer the booking out to drivers in real time, so you might as well do it in real time. And if it's one of those times when there aren't a lot of drivers around, you're effectively bunched. That's it. The system doesn't work.
And sometimes the pre-booking system doesn't work. Things get double booked. I've had that with work. I'm an adult who doesn't drive, so I'm very dependent on taxi drivers. And I've got to say, like, I do love Dublin taxi drivers. Like, they've got a special place in my heart. But I just feel like there's not enough of them at the minute.
Well, I mentioned that we are joined by Janet Horner, who's Green Party councillor for Dublin City. Is this yet another instance, Janet, of where there needs to be some kind of flexible pricing to entice drivers out to those times when they otherwise mightn't be available?
I think there's a few different, I mean, I think Brianna articulated really well there, like the safety issues that are involved and why taxis are an important part of women's safety, particularly at nighttime in the city. There's also safety issues for taxi drivers involved, and I think that's one of the reasons that people have left the industry. So I think there's a few different things that can be looked at there. I think, for example, having more engagement with taxi driver safety concerns and with the Gardaí and ensuring that they are taken much more seriously than sometimes they are at the moment. And I've seen that personally myself as well, where I've seen taxi drivers attacked. But I think as well, one of the things I'd really love to see in this is much more investment and rollout of the nighttime buses. They're not going to be for everybody, but if you can take the volume of people that are currently sitting waiting for taxis, if you can take even 70% of those people into buses by providing them with that alternative, that is a safe option for them to get the majority of their way home, it will free up a lot more taxis for those who don't feel comfortable, or the bus will not be an option for. So I think that's one way to look at it at the moment. And I think as well, just there's a very particular issue at the moment as well, because I think there has been a lot of taxi drivers leaving the industry. So I think and compounding that is obviously the issues with the cost of fuel. So there's a sort of a particular immediate crisis, but there's also, I think, some of the solutions are probably in the long run looking at how we can actually increase those nighttime buses and those alternative transports at night, so that people aren't having to rely on taxis when they are not as reliable as they
but
should.
But how do you address some of the market dynamics that would remain even if you do that? If you're a driver and you know, well, if I drive around Dublin city centre, I will get hailed on the street and I'll be able to pick up a job and the likelihood is possibly get one returning in the other direction. How do you incentivize a driver in that kind of setting to say, no, instead of staying around the city centre, I'll go out to the burbs to pick up a lone passenger who wants to be brought back in?
And look, I mean, I'm not sure how the apps, for example, the FreeNow app works, but I suspect there should be some mechanism involved in that that says that if you are committed to taking a journey, you should not be allowed to just drop that. If you are going to engage with that app and use that app, which I understand is a very useful app for drivers and for taxi drivers at the moment, if they are saying they are committing to using that app on that given night, then they should be obliged to pick up those fares, because it is sometimes a very significant matter of whether it's safety or whether it's an urgency of a particular situation that people find themselves in. I think if they have used an app, if they've been told they're getting a journey, having that cancelled can be really disruptive to someone.
Text saying, couldn't agree more with Brianna. No taxis available. And for me, it's just not safe enough to risk it otherwise. Have you managed to make it home to Australia since COVID?
Yes.
What's the experience like there? Is it the same in large Australian cities, or does it function properly?
Well, we've had Uber and other rideshares since 2015, which, you know, it depends where you stand on this, whether you're a taxi driver or not. Like my granddad was a taxi driver. He bought his plate for about 100K back in 1990. I believe the price was around 300 and something, 340,000 AUDs. What's that, like 190 euros? In 2014, now it's worth about 70 grand. So a lot of people who had bought these cab plates were left.
But it's still carrying that value. It's still a regulated market with limited supply.
Well, it's a limited supply. So what was happening, people like my granddad who had to pay off their license got really screwed over and couldn't make a lot of money. A lot of those cabbies who didn't own their plates left, started doing Uber. Uber takes a 25% commission, which is really, really high, and their fares are cheaper. So it's harder to make money. There's no lie about that. But they didn't have to pay off their cabs anymore. So a lot of people did actually move over. It was the big companies who held, like, you know, 50, 100 licenses who really got screwed over. But when this brought in the New South Wales government, my home state in Sydney, they said, we're going to start subsidising. So we're going to tack on an extra dollar for every Uber fare, and Uber is going to have to subsidise the taxi industry for decreasing their licence value. So I think it's up to $1 billion at the minute. So I think every licensed person gets like a 20 grand thing every year. I don't know how exactly it works, but the whole point of introducing Uber was you have to treat your drivers fairly, and you also have to subsidise the remaining taxis.
And does it work?
Oh, for me as a user, it works. I've always been able to get a Lyft, and I lived in a very dodgy area of Sydney growing up. So taxi drivers would not take me home at the end of the night. Uber drivers will always take me home because sometimes they're actually living out where I'm living. I've never had any safety concerns. I can see the driver on my phone. I can see the ratings that driver has. People often don't really understand that you get your own car. They think ride sharing, you get a car with multiple people. That's an option. You can get a pool for very cheap. I personally don't find it safe, so I don't do that. But I've always been able to get home. That's the main thing. And it also incentivizes me to go out, whereas in Ireland, I don't know if I'm going to get home okay, and I don't know if I'm going to get home safe. So that prevents women from participating in nighttime culture. It's not great.
Text saying, taxis do not respond to app bookings during busy periods. Why would they? Because they have to pay the app company 15%+, says the texter of the fare. Another, the taxi issue, the safety issue is massive. We've got a serious problem once public transport finishes after 12. Janet, as a Dublin City Councillor, to the issues that Brianna is raising there, is there an argument to be made for a fundamental shift in the market to include things like Uber, like so many other large cities around the world have done?
I would be reluctant to see a move towards Uber because, in the large part, because of the safety issues I have heard associated. Like, it is good to hear that Brianna has a very positive experience with it in the Australian context, but certainly in different countries around the world, that complete sort of lack of oversight that is there regarding limited oversight that is there regarding who the drivers are can really compromise women's safety. And I think when we move towards a system where we are relying on that, we are lowering the level of kind of expected safety that women can have of the services provided. And I'm mentioning women specifically, but I know this does impact on a much wider on many other people as well. For me, I do feel that, again, I'm going to come back to buses. I do think that the nighttime transport and Darts and Lewis's as well is a much better way of freeing up services for those who need them while also providing a safe, reliable, regular alternative that is there. Like, I know for me, I'm lucky enough to live on the 41 bus route, which now goes all night. So it is easy enough for me to time leaving the pub at a point in order to take a bus that leaves every 30 minutes in order to get me close to my front door. And that is a very good service, and it is always going to be my preference over spending the money in a taxi fare, focusing on an unreliable taxi fare. And I think when that service is there, people will use them. But that service needs to be there for a much wider range of people who live in Dublin and the surrounding areas.
And from what you've seen of Dublin Bus's existing plans, do you believe that the moves are afoot to get there?
We are looking at a very significant increase in the nighttime fleet. We had one more bus service added to the fleet only yesterday, which is really great. And we, over the next few years, there will be a more of a rollout of the number of nighttime services available. And I think that's really great. I know it doesn't quite solve the immediacy of the crisis at the moment, but it is, I think, a very substantial solution. Like, we, as I've sort of, I talk about all the time in different ways, we need to move away from sort of private car services as our primary means of moving people around the city, and that includes nighttime. It's still, from an emissions perspective, from the climate crisis and etc., there's many reasons why we want to look at kind of mass transit, so our Lewis's, our Darts, our buses carrying people as much as possible, and when they do, it frees up the traffic for people who want to drive, or the taxis for people who need to take a taxi. But they have to be the kind of the heavy lifters of the transport service for Dublin rather than the private car system.
Jeanette, thank you very much. That is Janet Horner, who is a Green Party Dublin City Councillor. And thanks as well to Brianna Parkins, fact checker with thejournal.ie and now small business owner renting out GAA players for escort duty.
Culture share, you had it fast.
Best of luck with it. Come back to us when you've made it big. Now, we'll win you some money.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.